A lovely Thanksgiving, and God is good, isn't He? We had a good time in Atlanta with Bishop Retivi and Sister Mary, and other of the saints there, all precious, doing a wonderful, wonderful job in Atlanta, and the distance that they're traveling so often from, and the sacrifices that they're making all the way from Africa. I think that's a tremendous act of faith. And reaching out to the nation of the, well, of the world. They not only come to the United States, but Pakistan, you name it. They had a great Bishop had a great, earlier this year, had a great convention, conference, meetings with thousands. I don't even know how many, maybe 20,000, I don't know. But it was a tremendous work, tremendous move of the Spirit and the sacrifices that they are making for the word of God to reach out around the world. So I respect that highly. So thank God to be here this morning. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. Yes. And had to leave right after the send-off of our dearly beloved Brother James, which was one of the greatest funerals that I was ever in. Was awesome, and everything went so well, and he had a great home going to see his Savior. And the hope that he had, and he passed on with that hope in his heart, that's the way we all want to go. Amen. See, you go with a hope in Jesus Christ. That is man's hope. You have to make it right now on this side. Not on the other side. You don't do it over there. You do it here. Yeah. Amen. See? And the dead know it, not anything. See, when you leave, when you lose this body of flesh, you're gone. Mm-hmm. It does never come back. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the dust, so it's your spirit. Mm-hmm. Like Sister Rosie was saying this morning, that we have an inner man.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't hear much about that, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, you in the third chapter, is it of John? You have your Bibles there. In the third chapter, you must be born again. That means we were born one time. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. In John, is it the John chapter 3, verse This man of the Pharisee, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a great man. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto Jesus, him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man on the line that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, verily, see that word verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. So you were born once. Every one of us was born once. When we came through this a passage of birth, our mother gave birth to us. Every one of us all have a mother. So we were born once. But Jesus saying now you must be born, you must be born again. You're born once, but you have to be born again. I say unto thee, except a man be born again. But this birth, it's not a natural what you call it, it's not a natural first birth type. It's a birth of the spirit, a birth from above. Okay, the first birth is earthly. The next birth is spiritual. Born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see, enter into the kingdom of God. Said Nicodemus, didn't understand, said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, that's not the way it is, see? Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of one, water, and of the Spirit. This is a spiritual birth. Born of the water, the word of God, and of the Spirit. Born of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so there is a kingdom. The first birth automatically puts us into the kingdom of this world. When you're born of the flesh, every one of us, we are in the kingdom of this world. But before you die, there's the thing. You have to be born again to be translated out of the kingdom of this world. That's it. Right now. You have to be translated out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. But you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you be born or born again. Simple, isn't it? When? Not when you die, but now in this life. See, before you die, you have to be born again the second time. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot. If you're not born again while you're alive, when you're dead, you cannot enter into that kingdom. You see, you enter into the heavenly kingdom, by being born again now. See, it's not your flesh and blood that enter into the kingdom. It's the new man. Amen. See, which is from above. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, but it's the kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, so Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is, it's wonderful. That's what we are striving and working for. See, the kingdom of God, I think the same John said, the suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. See, but every man must press before you die. Press. The dead cannot press. But it's while you're alive, you're pressing into the kingdom. Amen. So right, you're here today. When you have to fight sleep, like our brother was saying, fight the flesh, bully the flesh, is that you're pressing your way into the kingdom of God. He has to be born again, like the first time you were born of the flesh, you enter into this world. But now, you cannot go back into your mother's womb and be born again, no. But there's another birth, see, because the birth of the first Adam, the flesh Adam, but there's a birth of this the spiritual man, okay? There's a birth of the spiritual man. When we are given the nature of God, the inner man, the new man, Jesus, the scripture called it the new man. You must be born again. There has to be another birth. Every one of us has to have a birth. Every human being to enter into the kingdom of God must have another birth. And what verse 6 says that which is born, we've had these lessons now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You cannot change that. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leprous spot? No. See, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. remains flesh, cannot be spirit. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, so there's a spirit birth that we have to, when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, remember? Jesus said to the disciples, now you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You stay there. Because something was going to happen. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. See, the Spirit, when on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, He brought life. The Holy Spirit brought life. He brought the nature of God. And that's when the church was born. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came. In other words, a new nation was born. Okay? A chosen generation was born. A royal priesthood was born. A peculiar people was born. A holy nation was born. A righteous nation was born on the day of Pentecost. See, God began over and create a new race on the day of Pentecost. Amen. See, that which was born of the flesh is flesh, but there's a spirit, a birth, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. And verse 8 says, then he began to explain further, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone, notice, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's a spirit birth. And the evidence, one of the evidence of the spirit birth is that stammering lips, other tongues, these are a newborn baby naturally cry. A newborn baby in the spirit gives also manifestation, a birth, tongues and other manifestation. Mm-hmm. See, born of God, born of the Spirit. Now, God is your Father, your birth, spirit birth, Christ, the church. Okay, you have now the life of God, the nature of God inside of you. Amen. You are a new man. You are a new creation. Yes, by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was sent to give life. Christ tells us, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, with the evidence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, said you have life. You have the new birth. You are a new creature, a new creation. What's going on inside of you? God working inside of you. It is God that worketh inside of you right now, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You couldn't do it. You could not do it by the will of man. Okay, you could not do it by the will of the first Adam. But it's the nature that's given to us. It's through the nature that is given to us at birth, the birth of the new man. If any man in Christ is a new creature. Mm-hmm. See, before that, we were sometimes darkness. Yeah. And we were children of wrath, even as others. Mm-hmm. We had the nature of the first Adam, the nature of the world. But once you accept Christ as your Savior, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit that gives life. Yeah. The flesh profited nothing. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives you life. And more abundant life. Yes. So Nicodemus answered and said unto him, let's see on verse 10, how can these things be? Yes. In verse 10. Then what a wonderful conversation. See, it's a conversation pertaining to the new birth. Amen. It's Jesus taking him step by step and showing him, you must be born again. There is a creation, a new creation. It's planted in in the heart of a man. See, in your spirit. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you, notice, earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Let's follow this conversation a little bit. And no man, look at that. No man had ascended up to heaven. No man had ascended up to heaven. That's clear, right? Okay. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses, and he goes on now, making it as lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ had to die. See, for us to get this new birth, the Son of God had to be lifted up in the wilderness. The serpent was lifted up. Now, a type that Jesus is showing that he has to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary and died to bring this new birth. It's the death of Jesus Christ that gives us this new birth. Amen. Remember now, the death of Jesus that gives us this birth. He is the firstborn of the new creation. Okay, he's the firstborn from the dead. Is that Colossians, I think, in chapter, 1 or 2, where is the firstborn, the first begotten, the firstborn? If you would look there a little bit, I'm trying to see the first. He's really the first that rise from the dead. Amen. Jesus Christ is the firstborn that rose from the dead. Look at Colossians 1. This is a beautiful scripture right there in Colossians chapter 1, verse, 15.
Who is the image of the invisible?
Notice what he is. Notice what he is. He is the
image.
Colossians 1,
yes.
Started verse 15 down to, go down to verse 18. Verse 15 says, I just love this verse of scripture right here. It says, go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness. This is what the new birth is made of. Forgiveness of sins. You have to be forgiven of sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image? That's Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God? In other words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. And when God in God's plan in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, he says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. So in the image and in the likeness of God created he man. That's the original purpose of God, to make man in his own image. Now, who is the image of God? So we find out now that Jesus is the image of God. And it says that in verse, said, who is the image, let's read, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That means because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he's the firstborn from the dead.
Amen.
All right, he's the firstborn of the new creation. You must be born again. Death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
And how we died in Christ.
Yes.
We were buried in Christ.
Amen.
And we rose in Christ.
Amen.
So Jesus, yes, died for us, and he became the first fruit of them that slept. All right? He died our death for us. And he died so we would not be consumed or destroyed by really the second death. See, that's what you understand. There are two deaths. One, the natural, that's for the flesh. It's appointed unto man to die. Well, you die before Christ return or not, you're still going to get rid of this flesh. Okay? But there's a new birth. There's a new man.
Amen.
That's the spirit man, the new nature.
Yes.
That's after the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it says that he is the image, this beautiful, of the invisible God.
Yes.
The invisible God. Hold your fingers, and there's a scripture, I think, in Timothy that speaks of the invisible God. No one to him that is able to keep us from falling. Where is that scripture in Timothy that speaks of the God only?
First Timothy
1:17. Chapter 1. Read that before we go further. In 1 Timothy, we stay right here, but read that for me. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 17 says,
Now
unto the King,
eternal,
immortal,
invisible.
That's the Father. It's speaking about the Father. It's giving us an insight, an introduction to the Father. Now unto the King,
eternal.
He's eternal. He's everlasting. Eternal,
immortal,
invisible. The only wise God
be honor
and
glory.
Notice, be honor and glory forever and ever. Now, this is what the new birth help us to become a part of.
Amen.
We are to take on the nature of God.
Amen.
See, we are to have the same nature that God has.
Amen.
He's the Father, and we are sons of God. And the sons bear the same nature as the Father. We become one.
Amen?
Amen? Through Christ.
Yes.
But it tells us who he is. Our Father. He's eternal.
Yes.
He's from everlasting to
everlasting.
Hallelujah. Without end. Eternal. Immortal. That means he has immortality. Now, this is what we're seeking after. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we, and Romans 2, verse 7 tells us that to them who by patience continue in well-doing, seek for
glory,
hallelujah, and honor,
immortality,
eternal life. Now all these are God's nature. This is who God is. And this is what we're seeking for.
Yes.
We're not just seeking for worldly things, natural things.
Yes.
See, if I was up here this morning and just encouraging you how to get better so you can get more things, I would really be missing the point.
Right.
I would make you feel good, but I would not be helping you to become like your Father.
Yes.
See, to take on the nature of your Father.
Yes.
So here it says, now unto the King, eternal,
immortal.
Yes. That means he has immortality.
Yes.
Who only have immortality
in himself.
Yes. And we're seeking what he has.
Amen.
See, the King, immortal, invisible. The only wise God, be honor
and
glory
forever
and ever.
Amen.
How long will he be, how long will he be immortal? How long will he have life in himself? How long will he be the King?
Forever.
Honor and glory forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
And what else does it say?
First Timothy.
No, I need to go back to Colossians.
Yes.
See, so God is the King. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God that has immortality. Now, Let us make man in our own image. Well, what's the image of God? I just showed you a while ago the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. See, we are to bear these qualities, attributes of God. See, we are to have this. It's showing us what God is, and it's showing us what we are to be. Yes. It's showing us that, and Jesus Christ died. Yes. The Father never died, but the Son died. Yes. And he became the first fruit of them that slept. The firstborn because of many brethren. The firstborn from the dead. Why? Because when he died, he conquered death. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Go now to Hebrews, the second chapter. And we'll come back to Colossians. The Hebrews chapter 2. And read up from verse. Let's go up a little bit there. In Hebrews chapter 2. Find that for me. Where? Verse Hebrews.
Hebrews 2.
2.
Verse. Verse 4.
Verse 4 says. Read on for me.
God also bearing them witness.
Go on. Both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Verse 4 says, verse 5, For unto the angels had he not, notice, as he not put into subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Now, they were questioning, and they're still questioning about all of the privilege, what's available to us, the very nature of God. What is man? You made him a little lower than the angel, but they know that the Scripture says, "Let us make man in our own image." See, so when man was made in the image of the first Adam, that was not the end. See, God was only using that as a starting point. Yes. But the true image of God is Jesus Christ. Yes. So the angels are saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Now, this visit is not just dropped by hello, but is taking up his abode with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. See, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always, forever, even unto the end of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He visits us with what? This visit is with himself, his mercy, his grace, his lightness, his compassion. He visits us with his love. Do you get that? When God, that what is man that you visit him? And what? The thoughts of God towards us is more than the sand of the sea. See, this visit is not just to drop by and leave, but this visit is so that we will be changed in the image of God. That's the visit. He comes to stay. Hallelujah. That we might become like him. See, he visits us. Hallelujah. That we might be changed in his own image, like him, as he is, so are we. His visit is not to leave anymore, but he comes to dwell with us. He comes to take his abode with us, to tabernacle with us. So what is man that thou visitest him? He said, thou madest him a little lower than the angel. But notice, thou crownest him with glory and honor. What does he crown us with? Glory and honor. Where does this honor come from? From the Father. We just touched that in Timothy about the God, his honor and his glory. That thou madest him a little lower than the angel. Thou crownest him with the honor of like unto yourself. and glory, and did set him over the works of thine hands. Says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. Hallelujah. That is not put under him. But now, notice. Do you understand that? Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has provided for them that love him. All things God put under him, under us, under the feet of men. But now, because we're still learning, because we're limited, because we're still in the flesh, because our vision is very limited, we see through a glass darkly, but we see not all things, but a subject for. But said thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now you cannot see all things, but you see Jesus.
Yes.
Huh. We see all things through Christ.
Yes.
Okay? We remember, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we are complete in him. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, he tasted the death for you. All right, now. Somebody said, but if he tastes that, why, how come we die? You've got to understand, it's just the outer man, the natural man. But there is a thing called second death. Jesus says, fear not him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. That's the one to fear. Getting it? Fear not him who can kill this body. When Brother James laid here, was just his body. The rest of was gone. There was a new man that was already gone. Before you could have left that a place, a hospital, he was already home. You've got to understand that. He was already home. Those of you that were in the hospital, you don't know what was going on. Because you were in the natural. But what he was seeing, what he could sing, was he was on his way home.
Yes.
And he will never have to come back this way.
Yes.
Because he made it home.
Yes.
But remember that there was one that went before us.
Yes.
His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And he tasted death.
Yes.
For every man.
Yes.
Okay? He tasted death. Yes. For every man. But when he tasted death, Hosea, I think, tells us that he swallowed it up in victory. When Jesus tasted death for us, he swallowed it up. That death is called the second death. Okay? And him that overcome it, will I keep or shall not be hurt by the second death? Why? Because Jesus took that death for us. He swallowed it up in victory. And 1 Corinthians, Paul picked it up and says, O death, where is thy sting? Are you listening? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin
is the law.
Is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, notice, Jesus tasted death for us. He did. Okay. And when he did, he destroyed him that has the power of death. That is the devil. Okay. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Go on down. Said, who that by the grace of God should or did taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things. And by whom are all things in, notice, follow me, in bringing many sons unto glory. Where is he bringing them? Unto glory. But to get there, you have to pass through the passage of death. But the psalmist says, though I walk, you're not listening, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Because he's already there. He went on before us. He swallowed up death in victory. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. For it goes on, says, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. To where?
Glory.
Now this glory is not just somewhere out in space. Let's call it heaven. That's not what he's working on. The glory is, remember, he's a God of glory. He's the Father of glory. Amen. The Spirit of glory. God is the Father. Hebrews 12 tells us that he is the Father of glory. And where to him be glory, majesty, honor, dominion. Said he's the, speaks, we just had it where, that now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God, be honor and glory. Do you tell us? To them who by patience seek for honor and glory. So what are you seeking for? You're seeking for God. Huh. You're journeying to Mount Zion, where the Father is, where the spirits of just men are made perfect. So we're seeking for that. So it says it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Read on. Verse 11 says, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's the Father's name. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me. Now, the children are that God has given me, but so are born again. But he himself became the first fruit of them that slept.
Amen.
Amen. By the resurrection. So we have to be born again.
Amen.
through the resurrection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Christ became the firstborn among these, the children, the many brethren.
Amen.
And again, I put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God had given me. So he's the firstborn of these children. The firstborn from the dead. And because he lives, we shall live also.
Amen.
He died the dead. He took death. He took the law, nailed it to the cross. And he took death. And he swallowed up death in victory.
Amen.
And he said, where is your sting?
Yes.
O grave, where is your victory? Christ swallowed it up. I'm he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And have the keys. Notice, he has the keys
of death
and hell. So are you going to say that the saints of God are locked up when he has the keys?
Amen.
I mean, come on, let's reason. Huh? Death is not the master.
Amen.
See, death reigned from Adam to Moses. But now grace reigned through faith.
Hallelujah.
And Christ went and conquered death. And broke the spell of the second death. Amen. And he said, I have the keys of death. And here's what he's telling us in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. All right. Flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? Why? That through death, when he died that first death, through death, here's what he did. He went and preached to the spirits in prison that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death. So, did Christ destroy the devil? Did Christ took the keys away? The keys of death and hell. Did he take it away from the devil? Let me ask you a question today. Who has the keys? And when is he going to open up death? Now, did he do it when he died? Did he open up the doors of death? Did he open it? Or is it until the second advent before we will open up? When he died, did he left Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Did he leave them locked up, dead? Or did he free them? The hour is come and now his. When all those that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And those that hear will come forth. When he died and went to preach to the spirits in prison, did those spirits hear a joyful sound? Did he lead captivity captives? When he ascended an eye, did he lead captivity captives? And gave gifts unto men? Did he shout, death is swallowed up in victory? Insomuch that he said, I am not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Hebrews 2 verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's the first birth. But he said, you must be born again. And that's what we're dealing with. The second birth, the new man, the hidden man, where Christ in Colossians, read one, became the firstborn of every creature. Eh? He's the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, who is the beginning. Notice, read it. The firstborn from what? From the dead. You see, when he died, okay, he destroyed death. That is second death. And when he rose, he swallowed it up. And that's why the overcomer's second death cannot touch you. First death, you just get rid of the body. It goes back to the dirt. But if the outer man perish, though the outer man perish, we can shout and sing because the inner man is being renewed day by day. Don't worry about our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. It's working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but we look unto the things that are not seen. So you've got to look beyond just natural death and see what Jesus did when he died. He died. Okay? And when he died and rose again, second death died. Second death cannot hold you.
Amen.
He opened up the doors of second death.
Hallelujah.
Has no power over you.
Amen.
The first death is just like you enter into your bedroom, your closet, to change your garment.
Amen.
That's all. Brother James just went to change. Amen. See, dead cannot hold you. The grave cannot hold you. You're gone. Abraham is not in the grave. Someone say, well, oh, when Jesus was talking, telling the parable, it was just a story. And no, he was not. Jesus don't do stuff like that. That's for real. There was a real man that he didn't even call his name. He just said the rich man. But there was one that made it, whose name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was the name that Jesus cared to remember. He didn't want to call the rich man's name. He's gone. His name is not written in the book of life. And when Jesus was looking in the book of life, he saw Lazarus and told us a man by the name of Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. He told us that they had water in abundance. So much that the rich man was begging for some. Amen. You've got to understand now, Jesus is a master.
Yes, 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 yes.
He came to set the captives free.
Amen.
And he is the head of the body. Colossians. Read. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn. Look at that. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. No, no, listen, listen. If he's alive, he broke, broke it. So you mean that he's alive and he's the head? Did he say he's the head? And he's alive.
Yes.
He rose from the dead.
Yes.
And we're talking about spiritual now. We're not talking about the natural body.
Yes.
We're talking about spiritual now.
Yes.
Okay? He rose from the dead.
Yes.
He's the head of the church.
Yes.
Which is his body.
Amen.
So, can you imagine? The head is alive. We agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the body is dead. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen someone that the head was alive and the body is dead?
No.
No, he said, because I live,
yeah.
You shall live also.
Amen.
And that life that we have, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And gave himself. Say, but you've got to know to separate the natural, the outer man, the flesh man, born of flesh is flesh, from the new birth, the spiritual man. How do you do that? Hebrews tells us that the word of God, Jesus did it when he died. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing, piercing, spirit, soul, body. Go on and read it. He did it. The job is done. So you as a saint of God, you're newborn, reborn, a new man. And that's the new man that's clothed with Christ. He's the head, the church, of the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father, quickly now, that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In where? In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Then it goes on. You've got to continue. Okay, in the faith. Grounded and settled. Now, go back in closing to, where was I?
Hebrews.
Close out in Hebrews 2. Verse what? 14, 15? Closing there.
For as much as the children
were partakers of
flesh and blood.
We did, when we were born naturally.
He also himself likewise
came into our dimension, humanity.
He died, he might destroy the natural death, but
when he died, through death, he might destroy. Here's the purpose.
Him
that has
the power
of death. He tasted death.
Yes.
Okay?
And delivered him.
Verse 15. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, notice, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoove him to be made like unto his brethren. All right, here. In all things, follow me. In all things is to be made like his brethren. Or his brethren to be made like him. So, in all things. So, he became flesh like his brethren were. So, if we're to be like him, he became flesh and died and rose from the dead. So, when we die, we're to be like him. He rose from the dead. He's alive. Okay? He destroyed that. Swallowed it up. But now, okay, we don't have anything else to swallow. I mean, he tasted and swallowed it all. He took the cup of death. He said, but what about he died? Yes, but that's the natural part that doesn't belong to him. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, remains flesh. That part is going to die. But you must be born again. That birth, that inner man, that nature lives on forever. It cannot be hurt of the second death. Why? Because he tastes death. And what he does? What he does? He didn't taste it and hand it to us. He drank the bitter cup, all of it. Amen. There's nothing else for you to drink.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Then you're gone back now. But he died. That's the first death. Even if you're alive when he comes, you're going to get rid of that. You're going to be changed. Amen. So somebody died before you. They're just gone to change before you. They change early, that's all. But the second death, if you're not a child of God, if you don't have the victory over it, it will swallow you up. And there's no deliverance from second death. If you don't know Jesus now, right now, as your Savior, when you die, second death get a hold of you, there is no deliverance. Amen. So be not deceived. You overcome it now. Not when you're dead. You have to be born again. Is that all? Wherefore, in all things, in closing, it behove him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, what did he do? He is able to, that word succor or deliver them that are tempted. My God, don't you see that? He's able. To what? Amen. Give him praise.